Welcome back. It's 10:42. It Matters with Kelly Cords is brought to you by Tony's Lifetime Exteriors. Thanks for joining us today. You know, November is Adoption Awareness Month, and I've been thinking about this for such a long time. I've had listener interest in wanting to know more about Minnesota foster adoption, and finally have gotten together with them to talk about it. We're going to have a series here over the next few weeks. Rachel Walstead is the executive director at Foster Adopt Minnesota. It's an organization that promotes safety and permanency for Minnesota youth in foster care. They provide support, guidance, and resource for adoptive, foster, and kinship families and communities. And as a licensed social worker with more than two decades of experience in the field of adoption, Rachel brings really deep understanding of adoption and has worked across all types of adoption, both in direct service and leadership roles, including pregnancy counseling, post-adoption support, international, domestic, infant, and foster care adoption. And she is joining me today. Rachel, I'm so glad that we were able to make this happen and your staff is working with us. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Kelly, and I'm just happy to be on here with you and appreciate you highlighting our work and the need here in Minnesota.
Can you share just a little bit about Foster Adopt Minnesota, what that is?
Yeah, you know, as I think you mentioned in your lead there, you know, we have several of our staff are going to be joining you over the next several weeks, so I'll be just sharing a little bit of brief kind of overview, high-level information, and let them share more details as they join your program. But, okay. We were founded, Foster at Minnesota was founded in 1980 by a group of adoptive parents who, at the time, just saw a need for families, for Minnesota kids in foster care. And so that's really our founding, you know, mission, and it really fuels our vision of zero kids waiting for a safe and loving family in Minnesota. You know, and over time, our programming has evolved, and we've really expanded to, you know, do the important work of supporting families, caring for these kids, and also supporting both foster families and kinship families, kind of with that, it's become the primary goal that, you know, kids, whenever possible, should be staying with their families. So really supporting that work as well to try to make that happen. And in doing that, you know, we have, you know, we're not a placing agency. So we're not doing the home studies with families. We're not making decisions about, you know, what kids are joining families. We really partner with the organizations that do that. So we partner with the counties, we partner with the private agencies, and we partner with the tribal organizations to support their work. And so it's a real collaborative focus that we have. And we see ourselves as sort of that gateway, first stop for information for foster care and adoption for those interested or wanting to learn about the process or needing some support. So we have programming from that front end that provides that information to people. People that are exploring the process, they have questions, they want to know what the next steps are, what that could look like for their families or relatives who have no kids that have entered into the foster care system, who have a lot of questions about how do they get involved in the process. Sure. So we're that front end, kind of providing that information, supports, resource linkage, and then also supporting people throughout the process. So providing education, supports, therapeutic supports, linkage, and connecting people to the services they need so they can be in a really strong place to parent these kids and to support their family.
Wow. It's great to know that we have an organization like this that can provide that information that people that they need. I understand that there's a lot of families, like in our listening area, you know, that, you know, live outside the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area that want to, you know, adopt or be in foster adoption. Can you talk about how they can access your services?
Yeah, you know, we offer services statewide. So one of the ways that we're super accessible to people throughout the state is that the majority of our services are phone phone and email based. And all our educational, almost all of our educational offerings are through webinar or podcast or things that people can access online. So because of our service model, we're equally available to people throughout the entire state. So no matter where they live, they can call in. We've got an 800 number. They can reach us or they can email us. And then our website is really a really good resource for families. It's a resource-rich website that has so much information, a lot of the commonly asked questions people have, FAQs for the beginning of the process.
Yeah.
And then just ways to reach out to us. A lot of web-based forms for people who want to begin our services.
Okay.
And then we do, you know, occasionally we get out in the community. We go to, throughout the state, we'll be at resource fairs and community events. We were just recently at, I think you're up in St. Cloud. We were up at the St. Cloud Pride Festival in September. So we do get out in the community when we can, so we can get in front of people and share information and ask questions,
nice.
Answer questions that they might have.
You mentioned when we first started that Foster Adopt Minnesota has a vision of zero kids waiting. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So, you know, it's the title of one of our programs, but it's also, you know, as I mentioned, is our founding mission of our organization. And really, you know, our goal is to ensure that every child has the safety and security of a family. And, you know, whether that's through temporary foster care, adoption, or with a relative. And so, you know, when we started, the focus was really primarily on finding adoptive homes. But as I mentioned before, it's really shifted in a positive way to really prioritizing kids staying with their family whenever possible, their birth first family whenever possible. And so, you know, just having services that and working with families in a way that support that primary goal.
Right.
And then we also want to raise awareness that people understand the need that exists here in Minnesota and step up to support Minnesota children and families in whatever way that looks like. And so that can mean being a foster family or adoptive family, supporting organizations like ours and many other great organizations doing this work, and just helping to spread the word so that more people in communities are aware of this need and stepping in to assist.
Yeah, when we're talking about adopting and foster families, what does that look like in Minnesota? I mean, honestly, if there's one child that doesn't have support, that is too many. What does it
right.
look like in Minnesota?
Yeah, and that's kind of our zero kids waiting, like how many is too many? And, of course, one is too many. And in Minnesota, the stats are kind of staggering. You know, on any given day, there's over 6,000 kids in Minnesota that are in care outside their family. So in foster care or some kind of out-of-home care. Luckily, the majority of them end up returning home, but a lot don't. You know, and so, you know, right now, like there are nearly 1,000 kids under the guardianship of the Commissioner of Human Services. And some of them are with relatives. And that means to be under guardianship means that the rights of their birth parents or first parents have been terminated and the state is effectively their guardian.
Okay.
Of these kids, over 500 are currently waiting for adoption.
Wow.
And so they're in need of a family today. And so, you know, when you look at over 6,000 kids, you know, in out-of-home placement at any time and 500 of them needing adoption, there's a really significant need for both adoptive and foster families
yeah.
in Minnesota. And you know, a need for families that are really willing to do the work to bring older kids into their families, because a lot of these kids are teenagers. There's a lot of, you know, nearly half are siblings that need to be together to maintain that sibling relationship. And they're not all in the metro area. I think sometimes that's a misconception, but, you know, I think just under half of the kids that are under state guardianship at the moment reside in the metro area, and the rest are in, you know, throughout the state of Minnesota.
So do the kids, do all of the kids stay with a family right now, or is there more like a residency, you know, like a group home where everybody stays? How does that work?
Yeah, most of the kids are either in a licensed foster home. Many are with relatives, which also may be a licensed foster home. And there are kids that are in, you know, residential group home settings. It really just depends on what the specific need is of the child and how to best meet that need. But the majority are in foster home situations.
Okay. So what are some things that families should consider? Maybe there's people out there, and I'm sure there are, that have considered adopting or fostering a child, or maybe fostering and then adopting a child. What are some things that they should be thinking about?
Well, I think, you know, as I've mentioned, kind of some of the things I've mentioned as we've talked is, like, one of the important things for them to really think about as they're thinking about this process is that we should all be working primarily for the goal of these children to return to their family. And so some people, they become licensed for foster care, and they think, like, oh, this might, you know, be kind of a fast track, a way to adopt a child, and that does sometimes happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing we should all be doing is thinking about how we can support that child and that family for the hope that that child can return to his or her family, that, you know, should be the primary goal. And also, whether it's being a foster parent or an adoptive parent, relatives caring for kids, the need to parent differently, and especially people who have experienced parenting who may think, like, wow, you know, I've got this figured out. I've raised my kids. They're older, and I feel like we've been really successful as a family, which is really good experience.
Mm-hmm.
But kids who have had out-of-home placement and traumatic experiences in their life, they need to be parented differently. And so families needing to do that work to make sure that they're getting the education and support to meet those unique needs that those kids may have.
Yeah.
And so that's a really, really important part of the process. And then, you know, one of the misconceptions that is often there is that it's a quick, because, you know, I told you those numbers, like, that's a lot of kids that need either temporary or permanent family waiting. And so it feels like the process should be really quick, but it's not really, because, you know, the whole study and licensing process can take longer than people anticipate. And it's so important to ensure that the homes are safe and can meet the specific needs of that child. So that can take a while. So people kind of have to have that mindset that it's not going to be as quick as they think it might be. And then, as I mentioned before, you know, a lot of people come into the process, they may be hoping to foster or adopt younger children. And there's such a much higher need for families for older kids.
Yeah.
And so just for people to keep that in mind. And so if somebody's coming into the process thinking just about adopting or fostering a younger child, that's going to be a different process, and it's probably going to be a longer process. And just the importance of the number of kids, you know, that are older, that are teens, that need that safe and secure and loving environment, whether temporary or long term, they're out there, and they need us all to kind of step up and think about what that would look like for our families.
Right. You know, it's hard sometimes maybe to put ourselves in their shoes. So that's why it's so important that you have this education to help parents. I'm a parent of three boys, but, you know, to parent differently, to understand from their perspective where they're coming from.
Right. Yeah. And to be able to meet their unique needs. And, you know, because like I said, there's a lot of older kids, their siblings, children of diverse racial backgrounds are highly represented. So families just doing that tough work to make sure they have the knowledge and are continuing to get the knowledge so they can meet those unique needs that they have. Okay. And that's where, you know, we'll have our education team on next week talking about programming. And like all our educational programs, our support programs, all of that is offered at no cost to the community. So there's just so many great resources. We're fortunate in Minnesota that there's just really, really good resources out there that are can be hard to navigate. And understand where they are. So that's where an organization like ours, that is kind of this kind of central place, kind of gateway, can be helpful for people just learning what is out there.
Yeah.
So they can understand what services are there for them to take advantage of.
Rachel, we have just about a minute and a half. Are there any upcoming events you'd like to plug quickly for the organization to let our community know about?
Yeah. We do so many. We do a lot of fun events throughout the year. We have our, you know, our 5K in the spring and a big back-to-school shopping event in the summer for kids in foster care. And we recently just had an amazing event for kinship families. You know, November's Adoption Awareness Month, so we have some things coming up for that. We have our fall forum, which we talked about the education program. It's over 3 days, and it's free, and it's just outstanding educational opportunities for people, whether they're just learning about the process or they have kids in their home. Like throughout the entire process, there's something for everybody. Okay. We have our annual Circus of the Heart coming up on November 2nd in the Twin Cities. Registration is closed, but we do take walk-ins, so encourage people to check out our website. That's just a time to celebrate families and also get information about the process. It's just a really fun kickoff for the month, and just a lot of great opportunities for families to have a fun time together. And then, of course, we have GiveMN coming up. If people are looking at organizations they want to support for that important day in Minnesota, we definitely encourage you to check us out, and we have a wonderful match this year for that event.
Wonderful. All right, Rachel, thank you so much for being here. It's Rachel Walstead, Executive Director at Foster Adopt Minnesota. If you're interested in learning more, the website is fosteradoptmn.org. And once you go there, I'm sure you can link to their Facebook and Instagram and Twitter accounts and things like that to learn more as well.